Well, to be with you, to report to you that things are going well in Antigua. God is working there. He's worked in us and through us, and we appreciate the privilege of serving Him there. And we appreciate your ministry in Antigua. Your prayer ministry is vital to everything that happens and every soul that is touched. Your prayers play a part in that. So we appreciate that from you so much, and we want to thank you for that. We'd like to report to you today what's happening, and we'll do that with a short video. I can show you much more in pictures, much easier than trying to explain everything that's going on. So we'll do that, and then Nancy has a few things to share, and then we'll look into God's Word.
We are Ken and Nancy Kirkland, missionaries in Antigua, West Indies. We serve under Biblical Ministries Worldwide, a fundamental mission board devoted to church planting and leadership development. We desire to bring the gospel to the people of the Eastern Caribbean through the ministry of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse and to be a witness to those closer to us in the small island country of Antigua. Our island is located east of Cuba, east of Haiti, and about 200 miles east of Puerto Rico. Antigua is a 12 by 14 mile island and has a population of about 90,000 people. Our climate is typical Caribbean, with temperatures ranging from 68 to 90 degrees. There is a great deal of natural beauty here, and tourism is the main source of income for the island. No matter where you are, a beach is no more than 5 miles away. Antigua was granted independence from Great Britain in 1981, and our government is still based on the English Parliament system. The main language spoken is English, although there are also about 10,000 Spanish-speaking people here, having come from the Dominican Republic. While we do enjoy the beauty of the country, our ministry is to people. Through radio, Bible clubs, vacation Bible school, and other opportunities, we seek to be faithful witnesses to those who need the Lord. The Caribbean Radio Lighthouse has been broadcasting the gospel to the Eastern Caribbean for over 30 years. We reach over 1.5 million people on 20 islands with both FM and AM broadcasts, both in English and Spanish. We have programs for all ages featuring good music, doctrinally sound Bible teaching, and practical instruction. Each day at 5 o'clock a.m., the broadcast day begins something like this. Good morning. This is the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse beaming out the light and truth of God's Word to the Eastern Caribbean. The Caribbean Radio Lighthouse operates from studios and transmitting facilities located in Jolly Hill on the beautiful island of Antigua and broadcasts with 10,000 watts on 1160 kHz AM and 2,000 watts on 92.3 MHz FM as authorized by the government of Antigua and Barbuda. The Caribbean Radio Lighthouse is a nonprofit, non-commercial missionary outreach. I'm Ken Kirkland, and I invite you to stay tuned as we present programs of interest and blessing. The missionary staff at the Lighthouse consists of three families, Jerry and Linda Baker, Kurt and Barbara Waite, and Nancy and I. We also employ five nationals who are responsible for editing programs and live broadcasting. My duties at the station are really quite varied and extend far beyond live broadcasting. Our studio is computerized and networked, so I program and maintain all the computer equipment. I'm responsible for oversight of our extensive music library, and I also handle all the station finances. The salt air is very hard on equipment, so general maintenance is very important. Recently, I helped do some repairs on our two radio towers as our crew replaced some guy wires that had rusted through. Even though television is much more available than in the past, radio is still very much in use in the islands, and we receive many letters from listeners who express their appreciation for our broadcasts. As we look to the future, we are exploring the use of the internet and satellite for an even broader outreach.
Our neighborhood ministry is continually expanding. A typical day includes frequent visitors to our home, both children and adults. The adults may come with a need, whether physical or spiritual, perhaps just for a visit, or even to a planned event. Some days, the children come to draw, to color, and play games on the porch. Some days, they come to listen or to read themselves from our collection of Bible stories. Other days, they may just want to do a puzzle, to chat, or maybe just follow Ken around for a while. Whether Ken is working in the yard or on a project, they find whatever he's doing to be fascinating, and they quickly discovered that Ken is not only a great fix-it man, but also a great teacher. Watching movies on the back of our house is a favorite activity for the children. We show Christian and solid family-type movies, many with a salvation or missionary theme. The popcorn, prepared ahead of time, adds to the adventure of the evening. Hosting a Christmas tea each year is proving to be a great outreach to the women and girls of our area. Singing Christmas carols and sharing the message of salvation is enhanced as the children from our reading class act out the Christmas story, complete with costume. This year we had 38 ladies and children attend, and a number of new contacts were made. Our weekly reading class began as an avenue to teach Bible lessons on a regular basis to those 10 or 12 children who frequented our home most often. We began working on their reading skills with the goal of enabling them to better read and understand the scriptures, as well as other Christian books. We've been able to develop quite a nice library through the donation of Christian children's books and materials brought down to us by friends and family. We're finding that books checked out are being read by all the members of the family, not just the children. It's such a joy to watch them develop a love of reading. Sometimes I sit and marvel at God's working as I see them devouring books containing biblical principles and character traits. Small prizes such as rulers, pencils, or crayons are often awarded for the number of books read. Great achievements might even be celebrated with an ice cream party. The ringing of the bell announces it's time for Bible Club. The children come from all across the neighborhood, full of anticipation and enthusiasm. We spend time singing songs, learning Bible verses, and studying God's Word. This year, our studies have included the life of Christ and His message of obedience, repentance, salvation, and of His miraculous power. We usually have about 22 children who come each Friday afternoon. I'm very thankful for our co-worker, Linda Baker, who faithfully helps each week. Our wide age span, from 2 years to 16 years, means we have to be creative, prepared, and animated. Spending time on games or paperwork after our lesson cements the truths and applications we've studied into their hearts and minds, and it also ensures that these biblical lessons are carried forth into each home.
Short-term mission teams are a tremendous help with our Antigua ministry. Teams come to help with church or vacation Bible school ministry, broadcasting, or construction. Most of the Radio Lighthouse remodeling and guest housing construction was done by volunteer workers. Whether your skills include accounting, preaching, concrete work, or digging ditches, there is always something you can do on the mission field. When possible, we incorporate mission teams that have come down for other purposes into our neighborhood ministries. The Make a Timothy Today team held a one-day deluxe Bible club in our yard. Others who have come down to work at the lighthouse or minister in churches or even help with construction may find themselves part of our reading classes, Bible clubs, or interacting with the children in a more informal way. Whatever the contribution, the children are impacted with not only the gospel, but with seeing the servant's hearts and godly attitudes of those who are willing to come. Our sending church, Cross Lanes Bible Church from West Virginia, sent a ministry team down to hold a BBS at our home. Their island theme was a perfect springboard for the Bible lessons they shared about living God's unshakable truth, as was Pastor Buckley's portrayal of various Bible characters each day. Stories, crafts, snacks, they did it all. It was a great encouragement to have them take the time to minister alongside us to the children we've grown to love. This past summer of 2009, our BPS grew to 60 children of all ages. Two young women, Amber and Jolina, were here to assist us. They taught Bible lessons and helped with crafts and helped provide music. Ryan, a visiting intern from Dominica, turned out to be not only musical, but very enthusiastic with our game time, making it great fun for the children. God used our theme of repentance and salvation to speak to hearts. And throughout the week, a number of children and teens accepted the Lord as their Savior. We sincerely thank you for your faithfulness. Our ministry in Antigua would be impossible without God's blessing, your support, and your prayers. You all play a vital role in each decision that is made and in every life that is touched with the gospel.
We do thank you so much for letting us be here with you today. We enjoy it so much to see you again. We've heard from some of you, and we appreciate that. The Young Believers class has corresponded back and forth with us, and sometime during the fellowship, some of them have them come and speak to us, let them know just who we are. Since we've been back this last time, we have developed somewhat of a new ministry that we lovingly or laughingly call a ministry of interruptions. As you've seen in the video, we have a number of people in and out of our house all the time. And because of our position in the neighborhood where we live, we chose a place that would be just completely Antiguan, no Europeans or Americans there. And also because of our stage in life, we have no children at home. We're kind of at a grandparent age. We are at a grandparent age. I know you're surprised at that, but we are. And so we have children and adults in and out of our home, and we have a different kind of time, a different type of responsibility that we can give time to them that we might not have been able to do if we had our children all at home with us. And so the Lord has opened up a lot of doors, and I mean that literally, as the doors are constantly being opened to people in our neighborhood. They'll come and knock at the door early Saturday morning at 6:30 maybe, and they need Ken to pump up their bike tires, or they need him to help them study for one of their school tests that they're going to have. Ken often is busy breaking up fights. I guess there's no other way to say that, between couples around us, and they run to us sometimes for protection from each other. And so we have those types of things happening in our door, and sometimes we just have children or adults coming just to chat and to visit, and they're always coming and to us, asking us about the gospel or about coming to church with them, and that's just very exciting to us. Lest you think that as missionaries, sometimes we elevate missionaries and think, oh my, they just are, you know, doing such a work there. I'm going to share something with you. I probably shouldn't, but anyway, a couple of years ago at Easter, we had a Bible club. We had a number of children we felt were just really ready to accept the gospel, and they really knew the truth. But we wanted them in a smaller group, so we had a small Bible club at Easter. And we went through the gospel very clearly and what happened at Easter. And we had a couple children accept the Lord, and we were very excited about that. We had a very busy weekend, as those of you in ministry know, sometimes happens, especially around a holiday. And so Easter Sunday, we were taking a nap. And so as we laid there, we just had barely laid down, and someone knocked at the door. Ken said, "That one's for you." I don't know how he could tell. But I said, "I'm not answering it. I'm just going to lay here, and they'll go away." So we quietly laid there, and, "Nancy, Nancy!" And so then we knew it was for me, and I knew who it was, a little girl, Kellyanne, down the road, one that had just accepted the Lord over the weekend. I said, "I'm taking this nap. I need to lay here, and I'm not getting up." And as I said that, I noticed that our window curtain was open. I thought, "Oh, they're going to come, you know, and they're going to see us in the window laying here, you know, and they'll know we're home." So I really shouldn't tell you this, but I got down low and I crept over to the window and I pulled the cord on the curtain to close it. And just as I did, "Nancy!" They saw me. So I had to go to the door, and I answered the door, and Kellyanne was there, and she's a little spark plug in our neighborhood. And she had a little cousin on her hip, and she had a neighbor boy with her, and she said, "Grandma wants to know, do you have any more of those Bibles that you gave to us at Bible Club? My auntie wants one, and my sister Vanessa, my sister Samantha, and Grandma and Mama all want a Bible. Do you have any of those? And you know those Bible lessons that you gave us to do? Grandma wants one of those, and my auntie in the next village, and my sisters want one of those." said, just a minute. So I went and got her. We had given out some Gideon little New Testaments that we had, and I brought those out and handed them out, a big stack, and then the Bible lessons of all different ages, so I'd figure out, you know, how old, who they were and what they needed. So I went back in the bedroom, and Ken said, what did they want? And I said, just the Word of God. I wanted a nap. I was very sure I needed a nap, but God was very sure I needed to answer the door. And so many times people come to our door, and I think, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to handle this. And I stand and think, okay, Lord, you put us in this neighborhood, and you sent them to our door. And so as I open it, I just pray that he will help me to know what to say to them. And each time he does, he gives the right words, whether they're coming for, you know, I would rather have them come at a Bible club, a structured class. I want to know what's going to happen, and I'll be ready for it. But the Lord has shown us that we just need to always be ready, and he is faithful to give us the right words to say. Sometimes I wonder, would that have happened at home? You know, were there interruptions that I avoided that maybe would have been opportunities to share the gospel? How many times did I not literally open my door, but maybe open my heart or open my mind and open my mouth to those around me? So as you pray for us in our ministry of interruptions, that we would be always ready, and that, you know, we really do love doing that and love them coming to us. And so we ask that you would pray that we would continue to love it. And that also, as you pray for us, then also look around and think, you know, what opportunities do I have? How is the Lord interrupting what I had planned and what maybe he's steering us into? And look for those ministries of interruptions.
When we open the door, we never know what's on the other side. One night about 11 o'clock, we heard some screaming and other noises from across the street, and I opened the door, and I took one step out, and I found myself between the husband and wife, one on each side, one with a butcher knife, the other with a cement block in his hand. And they were pretty upset with each other. They have never harmed us or lifted a hand toward us, and because I stepped out, they split up, and we were able to talk with them, and we've had an ongoing ministry with them. Please pray for that family, Natalie and Jerome. They need the Lord. But the Lord is using us there in so many ways we never expected. We went planning to be involved with the radio work, and we are, and it's an exciting ministry. But the opportunities he is sending our way to meet the needs of people around us has been so exciting, and we love doing that as well. So just keep us in your prayers, if you would, as we not only work at the radio station, but with families and with people in our area. Let me invite you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. I know these phrases sound familiar. Time is money. Time waits for no one. Time and time again. More recently, time for a change. I know you've heard that. But just what exactly is time? I never found anyone who can actually define what time is. One man said, it's what happens so that things don't happen on top of each other. That's time. Well, that's not really much of a definition. But you know, we do need to measure time very precisely. The International System of Units definition of the second. The second is the duration of 9,192,631,770 periods of the radiation corresponding to the transition between the two hyperfine levels of the ground state of the cesium-133 atom. Now we know what a second is. Makes perfect sense. Obviously, a second can be defined in its measurement very precisely. And you know, we all need to measure time. At the Lighthouse, we broadcast many hours a day. But the programs that we broadcast have to be timed to within 1 second of starting and ending at the proper time. If we run late on one program, the next one starts late. And the news, which we have no control over, is missed. And so we need to manage and measure time very carefully. If you have a job, you need to be at the job on time. You don't want to sit down in your seat at school late. There's a penalty to be paid if we're not in the right place at the right time. We wear watches so that we can arrive at the right time. At 10 o'clock today, we began Sunday school, not 10:30, not 9:30. We knew where to be at the right time to be in the right place. Well, the same thing is true in our Christian life. We need to be measuring and using the time God has given us because He has a plan for our use of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. These are familiar verses. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Do you get the idea that God has a plan for our time? There's a right time for everything and a wrong time. We need to be making the best use of our time. Today I'd like us to take a look back, a look ahead, and a look around. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word today, guide us in our use of time. May we be teachable. May we be used of you for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, common sense tells us that we grow by learning from our mistakes. When we arrived here in the States a couple of months ago, we met our newest grandson for the first time. He was a few months old. He's not doing too much yet. He eats and sleeps and wets his diaper. That's about all. But soon he'll start to walk. Now, when he starts to think about walking, it's a process. We all understand that. He won't wake up one morning and say, today I'm going to walk. Obviously, he crawls and he maybe tries a step and he falls and he gets up again. And he tries again, and he eventually learns to walk. If he fell and said, that hurt, I'm done, I give up, he would never develop, he would never grow. The same thing is true about speech, obviously. The young children start to make noises and think they're talking, think they're communicating. When nobody responds, they try it a different way. Eventually, they say something that makes sense, and everybody's all excited, and they learn to talk. We all went through the same process. In our spiritual lives, it's much the same. You know, if we fall, if we fail, if we sin, and then we say, I give up, I can't overcome this, and never go any farther, we are then stranded. We never grow in our spiritual life, in our relationship to God. That cycle of sin, and then repentance, renewal, and then growth is natural to the Christian life. If we stop that process at any point, if we never repent, and learn from those mistakes, learn from those sins, then we're paralyzed as Christians. We don't grow. We don't go any farther. We need to be willing to learn from those mistakes that we make. You know, it's easy to look back over our lives with regret instead of growth. If we fail to grow and learn from the mistakes that we make, we live a life of regret, and we are paralyzed in what God wants from us. I was thinking of Jacob in the book of Genesis. You might turn to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, beginning in verse 31. A very familiar story. You know Jacob's life. In verse 31, it says, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. He was talking to his brother. You know, Jacob had no right to that birthright, which was a very important thing in Old Testament times, of course. But Esau made a mistake, and he gave his birthright to his brother. So Jacob was deceptive and got Esau's birthright. Then, a couple chapters later, in Genesis 27, beginning in verse 19, another major mistake that Jacob made. He's not learning his lesson yet. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Obviously a lie. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. He was asking for something that wasn't his. and he got it through deception. Then in Genesis chapter 32, this is later in Jacob's life, Genesis 32, and Jacob lived with these mistakes all of this time. Beginning in verse 10, Jacob says, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee." That sounds like regret. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." Jacob struggled with these mistakes in his life for a long time. Only much later in his life did he learn his lesson. Did he make the correct decision to repent and turn from those mistakes that he had made? So he lived a life of regret. Do we look back on our lives with regret? Or do we look back and see a time of growth? Do you see a time of repentance and renewing? And then that cycle can continue and the relationship with the Lord is restored. Just a little sidelight, and it would be a mistake to go on without mentioning, for my grandson to learn to walk, he had to first be born. We talk about our spiritual lives, but we have to have a beginning to that spiritual life. We have to start off accepting the Lord as our Savior. If that doesn't happen, none of the rest of this matters. First, we establish that relationship. First, we get the Lord into our life. Then we can grow spiritually. So that's an assumption we make as we talk about growing spiritually, is that we are saved at some point in our life. So can we look back not only to a time of growth, but a time of birth? Can we look back to a time in our life when we said, "Lord, I repent of my sin. I accept you as my Savior. I know that there's nothing I can do, but that I trust you to pay the penalty for my sin and come into my life." That's the beginning of our spiritual life. Then the cycle begins. Yes, we will sin, but the Lord offers forgiveness as we repent, and then we grow spiritually. Well, we took a look back. Let's take a look forward. You know, the very concept of faith involves looking forward. Faith tells us that we will be with Christ when we die. Faith tells us that God will forgive when we sin. Faith tells us that if God asks us to do something, he will provide the means to do it. But all of those concepts involve looking forward. They all involve the future tense. Are we looking forward in our spiritual life? I remember very well God directing us to Antigua. Once he made it clear what he wanted us to do and we were submissive to his will, nothing could cause us to look back. We looked forward with faith to the plan that God had for us. And every time a door opened, we stepped through it willingly, with faith, trusting that God would do what he promised he would do. His leading was clear, his direction was clear, and we followed him with a clear conscience and with complete trust in him. You know, he never failed us once. We found ourselves in Antigua. It was an amazing thing when we look back at that. We sold our home and made so many critical decisions. We simply closed those doors behind us as he led us forward. And now we're exactly where he wants us to be. And we're thankful for that. We're pleased to be serving him in Antigua, having demonstrated in our lives his faithfulness. And we appreciate that so much. I was thinking about Abraham in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Familiar verses again, beginning in verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed." Abraham had that faith in his life. And when God made his plan known to him, he simply obeyed. "And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You know, looking forward in faith can help us to live in peace. Once God directed us to Antigua, we had a peace about that decision, and we had a peace about every step that we took. And every step we took reinforced our trust in him because he was faithful. That's a wonderful cycle that God provides for us. Abraham knew God's plan. He took that step then in faith, and he had a peace about taking that step of faith because he knew that God would not let him down. It's easy to live in fear. If we're not trusting the Lord, if we don't trust him to provide, we live in fear. Abraham didn't have to live in fear, and we didn't live in fear as we trusted God to send us to Antigua. None of us need to live in fear. Looking forward in faith can also help us avoid the trap of materialism. You know Abraham's life, and when he and Lot stood on the hill and looked at everything they could see, and Abraham said, "Lot, you decide what you want, and I'll take the rest." Abraham was very wealthy, but he had no desire to let the desire for wealth control him. He simply offered Lot whatever he could see. Abraham would take the rest. Abraham was not concerned about materialism, about the things that he had. We so often get wrapped up in the things that we think we need or the things that we want. We don't need to do that if we're trusting God, if we're looking forward in faith that He will provide. Then we don't have to spend our lives wanting more. I read an article about contentment in America. This was several years ago when the problem wasn't as much as it is now, that desire for materialism. The article was an interview of three families in America, and the three families were of various economic backgrounds. One was just below the poverty level, one was at about the average income for the country, and one was a very wealthy family. They were all middle-aged families with children at home. And at the end of each paragraph where they interviewed the family, they asked them, "What would make you happy?" And each family said, "Something more than I have." They wanted a little more in every case. How often are we controlled by wanting more than we have? If God has given us our situation and He's given us what we have, contentment is so important in God's eyes. Do we have the faith that He is providing what He wants us to have? I'm not saying just to sit back and let it fall on our table. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about following God's will for our life, following His plan, and being content with what we have. You know, as we've been in several different mission fields over the years with teams, we've seen a contentment in many parts of the world, underprivileged parts of the world, that we haven't seen here in America. The power goes off in Antigua. You don't hear everybody hollering and yelling and wondering what's happening and going out to the street to talk to each other. They just take it in stride, partly because it happens so often, but partly because they are actually more content than we are. You know, if a power goes out, we all panic because we think that maybe something in the refrigerator is going to spoil. It might. It's not the end of the world. We just need to be a little more content with the things that God has provided. And then looking forward in faith will help us endure hardships and trials. And we know this from what we know about the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." If we have faith that God is going to do everything He says He will do, then we'll find ourselves much more content with the trials and the hardships that come our way, because we know that what happens here in our lifetime is so small compared to eternity with the Lord. We can't even measure the briefness of our life compared to eternity. You know, the world does live in fear. If you felt like your life and everything you know, your consciousness ended at your death, you would be afraid. And the world around you is afraid because of that fact. If you're convinced that life ends at your death, as the world thinks that it does, can you imagine the hopelessness and the concern for today and tomorrow and the next day? Because that might be all you have. We know so much more because we know we have eternity with God. What a peace that gives us. And when a trial comes our way, it's so small compared to eternity. And we know that God is building us through those trials. He's working things in us for the benefit of eternity. What a small price to pay for a hard time. But we choose sometimes to live in fear. We lose sight of that eternity with the Lord, and we get wrapped up in what the world is doing, and we start to think like they do, even though we are aware, we're conscious that it's different than that. We still get wrapped up in the world, and we get wrapped up in the world's thinking. So we need to get our eyes off from the world. We need to look ahead to eternity with God. Are we living in faith, ready to obey the Lord, following His leading, or do we live in fear? Because we're so concerned about what the world is doing and the things around us. We've taken a look back and a look forward. Let's take a look around. You know, we can talk about our past and we can look forward to the future, but we are all here right now. We live in the world, in the present time. And even though we know that the time is coming when we don't have to measure time anymore, right now we live in measured units of time, minutes and hours and days. We live in the present. How does that affect what we do with the time that we have? I was reminded of the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Let's look at these verses briefly. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The verse tells us to walk circumspectly, walk wisely. Walk being aware of what's around you. Don't just let the world pull you through life. Walk knowing God, knowing His Word, knowing His truth. And walk following His leading. He says, not as fools, but as wise. Notice the contrast. Are we wise or are we foolish? You know, the world around us is foolish. Then the next verse says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We've mentioned the world. We've mentioned what's around us. So we know that it's evil. You can just read the newspaper and find that out. But the verse says to redeem the time. Buy up the time. Make use of the time. Even though we can't define time, time is what we have and what God has given us. What are we doing with the time that we have? And then the verses say, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So often we wonder what's God's will. Redeeming the time. That's what the verse says. Be wise, redeem the time. God so often will make His will known to us if we are teachable, if we're ready to accept what that will is. If we can tell the Lord with a pure heart, I am ready to give an answer when the opportunity comes. God's will isn't going to be that hard to find, because when somebody knocks on the door and asks a question, there's your opportunity to exercise God's will for your life. Give that answer. Provide what He wants you to provide. His will is so often clear if we are ready to listen to it. I was thinking about Paul in the New Testament. And Paul was a great one for redeeming the time, making the most use of time. We won't read all of these verses, but in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 25, we read that Paul made use of all possible ministry opportunities. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Who did he teach? Everybody that he could. Everybody he crossed paths with, he taught. He shared the gospel with them. He made use of all possible ministry opportunities. In the book of Acts chapter 16, we find out that Paul was flexible. You know, Paul had a plan for ministry. He had some place he was planning to go and serve the Lord. But then the verse tells me, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Once Paul received his directions from the Lord, he simply changed where he was going, followed God's direction. Are we ready to do that in our lives? When God sent us to Antigua, we were living a life of Christian service in West Virginia. We were serving the Lord faithfully. But God had someplace else He wanted us to be. And there was a part of us that wanted to stay right there. But we simply said, Lord, whatever You want us to do, we will do. We have never had a second thought about that, never looked back with regret. God is so faithful. And Paul was flexible. We've mentioned people knocking on the door. There are so many times that I would rather sit down and read a book or visit with Nancy. Someone knocks on the door and the opportunity to serve comes along. We simply take the opportunity. We don't always feel like it. We know it's the right thing to do. We mentioned breaking up the fight that one night, and that's happened a few times. And yet I know that that has provided a vital ministry in those people's lives. And when they do get in danger or when there's an issue, they come to us for that spiritual guidance and the spiritual help that they need. And we're thankful for that. And God has allowed that because we have been willing to be flexible in our use of time and to be available for people when there's a need. And then we read in Acts chapter 13 that Paul was available, as we have just said. And without looking at the verses, a church where Paul was ministering, and he was, I'm sure he was involved in ministry, decided that Paul should begin one of his missionary journeys. And when the church told him that, he simply was available to go. And he responded and obeyed and went. We had someone knock on our door one night with a very sick child, and they asked us to drive them to the hospital. We were already getting ready for bed. Our day was finished. But we made that trip with that family. That family has since responded very positively to going to church and listening to us talk about the gospel with them. It really cemented a relationship with the family because we were flexible. We were ready to be used by God, and we're thankful for those opportunities that come our way. Well, it's true. We can't define time. We don't know what it is. But God has a plan for our use of time, and he wants us to use our time for his glory. It would be easy to sit back and be lazy in our use of time. How much time do we waste every day and every week? Now, I know that we all need to take a break and sit back and regroup, and we do as well. The Lord got away from the ministry at times, and he renewed himself spiritually, and he renewed his strength, and we need to do that. But are we careful in our use of time? Are we willing to use our time for God's honor and glory? I remember one time an employer asked all of us that worked at one particular place to fill out a time chart for a week, what we did every 15 minutes for 7 days. That was an amazing and disappointing eye-opener for me to see what I did with my time and how much time I wasted. Time that wasn't spent renewing myself, it was just spent doing nothing. What a time waster can television be? It can be a great tool. It's a great thing. But it can be a time waster. The internet, the computers. We need to manage. We need to redeem the time. That doesn't mean we need to stay away from those things, but we need to use them in balance, in God's plan, in his way. And then as we redeem the time, God will use all of us effectively, wherever we happen to be. Nancy and I have some flexibility that some of you don't have, of course. And yet we're being used by the Lord because we're flexible in allowing God to use us. No matter where you are, there are opportunities to share the gospel, to live a testimony in front of people around you, and then share that word of truth when God opens the door for that opportunity. So redeem the time. Let God make the most of your use of your time. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that you give to each of us. We don't know exactly how much time that is, and yet we know that it's a gift from you. And we know that you've instructed us to redeem the time. You've instructed us to give an answer when the opportunities come. So help us to be used by you for your honor and glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ken, Nancy, so very much.